On our last broadcast, I began the message entitled, Going Through Your Trial. Because every Christian will go through trials. And we learned that we should respond to our trials with joy. But there's another lesson that we can learn when going through trials. So open your Bibles to James chapter 1, and we'll take a look in the book.
Bread of life, sent down from the Lord.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where the pastor is Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will be bringing a series of messages on the book of James. So get close to your radio and listen as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. takes a look in the book.
I want you to see three ways that James said we ought to respond to our trial. The first way we ought to respond to our trial, respond to your trial with joy. Respond to your trial with joy. In other words, enter your trial with joy. In other words, face your trial with joy. Oh, I'm not making that up. It's right in the Bible. Look what it says in verse 2. My brethren, Christians, ladies and gentlemen, men and women, boys and girls, count it all joy. He's using an accounting word when he say count. You know, in accounting, they have the debit and they have the credit. Oh, you can put the ledger like this. One side for God, one side for the devil. Because when you're going through trials, either the devil going to make you mess up and curse God or something. And that's a check for the devil. But if you pass the test, that's a check for God. James says, when a trial comes already, check that in God's column. Count that down for God. He said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. Some Bible says temptation, but the correct translation there should be trials. Later on, he's going to talk about the temptation down here in verse number 13, 14, and 15, he'll talk about. But right now, he's talking about the trials, these outward things that comes upon us. Notice, he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. When you fall, let me tell you something. You don't walk into a trial, you fall in a trial. You walk into temptation. We're going to deal with that next week. But you fall into a trial. Y'all ain't feeling that. That's heavy theology right there. You walk into temptation. But you fall. Come in, Brother Gerald. Come in, Brother Gerald, because I got to get some help here. Maybe I can illustrate this. Brother Gerald, do you believe this chair can hold? Sit down. Have a seat. All right. That's good. Stand up. Sit back down. Stand up. Sit back down. He fell into a trial. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. Give Gerald a hand. Now, we just learned something about a trial. See, a trial is just like a chair that done been pulled out from up under you. See, a trial catch you by surprise. It catch you unexpectedly. Whatever you was counting on, it was just pulled out from up under you. whatever you've been leaning on and depending on, it was just poured out from up under you. Trials come unexpectedly. They don't come announced. They come unexpectedly. And you got to make up your mind how you gonna respond to your trial. A lot of times when things happen to us like that unexpectedly, a lot of times we respond with revenge. Somebody done pulled the rug, the chair out from up under us. Hey, just wait till I see them. We got revenge on our mind. We go to bed trying to think of stuff, how we gonna get them back. Because I ain't letting nobody mess over me like that. We respond with revenge, or we respond with anger, and we take it out on other folks. We come home all mad, done had a bad day, somebody done something wrong on the job, and we come home mad at the world. Don't want to speak, slamming doors there at the house. Pam! Somebody say, what's wrong with you? What you mean, what's wrong with me? And if you ain't careful, you will sink into a depression. You will worry yourself so until you don't even want to go to work. You don't even want to get out of bed. Because your problems done brought you down, 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 where you don't want to get up. It just done brought you down. But James said, that ain't how you ought to do it. He says, count it all joy. Don't let your problem get you down. He says, face your problems with joy. You ought to get all excited. You ought to get all excited that God allowed a trial to come into your life. Why is that? Because God is up to something great. Yeah, James said, you ought to get excited. See, sometimes we wonder, you know, do God know what's happening in my life? Well, when a trial come, that's your way. That's God's way of letting you know, yeah, I know what's happening in your life. And we're getting ready to make some changes in your life. Look at what he says right here in verse number 3. He says, knowing this, knowing what, James? That the trying of your faith worketh patience. Mama and them used to say, boy, you better watch it because you're trying, man. It's a good thing to be tried. When God tries you, because God, before he promotes you, he got to try you. That's the trying of your faith. Work it. Notice. What is God doing when you're going through a trial? He's trying to give you more patience. He's bringing you to a place, because most of us ain't got no patience. We want something, and we wanted it yesterday. Work it patience. And he says, but let patience have a perfect work. Look at what he says. God says, I'm sending the trial there. And don't hurry up the trial. Let God do his work. With the trial. See, we want to just, see, we think the trial ought to be like a drive-thru. We order at one window, pay at the next window, and then pick up the next window and go on and eat it. And we done with that. We done with it. Trials don't work like that. You can't get in the express line with a trial. He says, let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. See, the problem is not that you are not a Christian. You just don't allow God to do his work in your life so that God can bring you to a point of completeness. When he's talking about perfect, he's talking about to a place of maturity. See, most of us are still baby Christians. We've been in the church 10 years, but you're still a baby Christian. 30 years, but you're still a baby Christian.
What is happening to me?
Because you ain't letting patience have its work in your life.
So God have to send you through another trial.
He said, but you count it all joy. Count it all joy. You know, when they was getting ready to do that balcony up there, I got excited.
Man, the carpenter told me, listen, don't get too happy right now. He said, wait till I come back. When he came back. With a big old toolbox. And he had all his tools. And one of the tools that he had a hammer. And a hammer has two ends. On one side, it has like a claw. And he went upstairs because we had a wall up there. And he just put that claw in and started ripping some stuff out and tearing up stuff. But then after he got it towed down, he went and got some of those railings up there and started using the other end of the hammer and started building up some stuff. You know why you ought to get excited when you see a trial? Because that's God's toolbox. God done brought some tools. He just ain't showing up. God has brought some tools there. And God is getting ready to take his hammer and it's going to rip some stuff out your life. And then after he rip it out, he's going to build. Count it all joy when you're going to face your trial with joy. A lot of folks say, Pastor, why you always smile? I come from a smiling family. I come from a happy family. My mama is happy, daddy happy, all my sisters and brothers are happy. Don't you have met my sisters and brothers last week? They talk more than I talk. That's why when I come to church, I like to talk. Because when I'm at home, I can't talk that much around here. But they always, as a matter of fact, it's a sin at my house. Growing up in Liberal, that was like a sin to not be happy. When mama and them seen you not happy, say, what's wrong with you? Straighten that face up. You had to be happy. Even right after you got through with a whooping, mama said, now straighten that up. You had to put that smile on your face. But one of the reasons is my mama and daddy and granddaddy and grandmama, they always told stories. Something to make you laugh, something to help you, because see, laughter, the Bible says, is like good medicine for you. And one of the stories that my daddy used to always tell the children and the grandchildren, he used to tell us the story about Brother Rabbit and the Sly Fox, and how Brother Rabbit used to always have to run for his life from the Sly Fox, and Sly Fox, he could never catch Brother Rabbit, but one day he just about caught him. When he made this tar baby, he got a little baby doll and put all tar on it, and he set it out there on the rabbit trail, and Brother Rabbit came down there hopping on the rabbit trail. And he says, good morning, tar baby. Tar baby didn't say nothing. He said, good morning, tar baby. Tar baby didn't say nothing. He said, let me get a little closer. And he hollered in his ear, said, good morning, tar baby. Our baby still didn't say nothing. He said, you a rude tar baby. He said, I ought to slap the tar for you.
and he hauled back with his right paw and slapped him, pow! And he was stuck. He said, you better let me go. He said, you better let me go, unless I'll slap you with my other paw here. He didn't let him go. He reached back and he slapped him with the other paw. But now he was, both his paws were stuck. He said, you better let me go, top baby. You better let me go, because I'm going to drop kick you right in the stomach. You better let me go. He wouldn't let him go, so he hopped back and he drop kicked him there in the stomach. Now all four of his paws were stuck. Oh, Sly Fox came out the woods. I got you now. I got you now. And Brother Rabbit said, oh, please have mercy on me. Just don't throw me in the bride patch, whatever you do. Don't throw me in the bride patch. He said, oh, you don't want to be thrown in that bride patch? He said, I'm in charge now. I'm going to throw you in the bride patch. He picked him up and threw him there in the bride patch. He heard some in the briar patch, some rumbling and rattling in the briar patch. A few minutes later, old Brer Rabbit come dapping out the briar patch, going on down the road. He said, wait a minute, how did you get loose from Top Baby? He said, you forgot I was born and raised in the briar patch. In other words, I'm used to hard times. I was born and raised in hard times. So when hard times came to my house, Daddy said, that ain't nothing. We was born and raised in a hard time. And God just brought some trials in our life, not to make us bitter, but to make us better. So face your trial with joy. But not only that, respond to your trial with prayer. Respond to your trial with prayer. Look at what he says here in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not, and it shall be given to him. God says when you're going through a trial, he says you need some wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the knowledge of God, or the ability to take the knowledge of God and apply it to your bad situation. It's the ability of taking God's knowledge and making the right decision in a bad situation. It's taking the knowledge of God, which is the mind of God, and applying it in your situation. That's what wisdom is. It's, I say it this way, it's doing the right thing with the thing. That's what wisdom is. It's doing the right thing with the thing here. It said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that you can do the right thing with the thing. You know, I like reading the book of Proverbs if you want some wisdom. Because the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. If you want some wisdom, then read the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book that has 31 chapters. How many days of the month do we normally have? 31 days. So you can take one chapter each day of the month and get a daily dose of God's wisdom. I like hanging out with old folks too. I like hanging out with my granddad, grandmama, some old folks in your life, because they always can drop some little wise nuggets, give you a little wisdom. I heard a lady the other day was talking, and she made mention about she was in a bad relationship, and the man started calling her back. But she said, I didn't answer the phone. I didn't want to answer the phone. And so there was another preacher there, and the preacher said, well, that's a good thing, Because I remember what my granddad said. My granddad said, you don't ever want to trip over nothing behind you. You'll catch that on the way home. That's some wisdom there. Once God done moved somebody out your life, you ain't got no business in. You finna trip over something. That's some wisdom there. But see, sometimes you can't get to grandmama. Sometimes you can't get to grand. As a matter of fact, grandmama and granddaddy ain't no always be there. So when you can't get in touch with grandmama or granddaddy, you need to know how to pray and get in touch with Almighty God. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him pray. Talk to God about your bad situation. Somebody said, well, Pastor, I talked to God about my situation, but God didn't answer my prayer. It could be because, can I tell you the truth this morning? Don't chunk no rocks at me now. Could be because you was playing church. I'm getting this out the Bible. Look at what it says in verse number 6. But let him ask in faith. In other words, God said, don't you be coming up here playing with me. See, sometimes we try to put God down on our advisor's board. And so we go over here and ask this person for advice, ask this person here for advice, call cousin up and ask cousin for advice, call baby up and ask baby for advice, and then we'll run this by God and see what he got to say about it. And then we decide on which one we want to go with. God said, don't you be playing with me. Let him ask in faith. When you come to God, you ain't going to nobody else because you know God's got your answer. You ain't looking over here to baby and boo-boo and busting them. No, no. You know God got your answer. He says, nothing waving. When you come to him, don't go back and be going back and forth and like a ship out there on the sea. He said, verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He said, the reason your prayers ain't answered is because you double-minded. I told you James can pull off his glasses and tell you about yourself. He said, you're just being double-minded. What do we mean by double-minded? That means you got two minds. That's what he's talking about. You got one mind in the world, but you got another mind in the church. You got one mind for worldly friends, but you got another mind to hang out with your Christian friends. You got one mind to do what them old friends, worldly friends say. But then you got another mind over here to do what the Bible say. And God said, the reason you ain't getting nothing is because you scrawling the fence on me. You ain't got your mind made up. So that's why you ain't getting nothing, because you're scrawling the fence. See, you got the
bread of life sent down from the Lord.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Bread, send down from God.